Open your Bibles this morning in the book of Genesis and the chapter number 37. We're going to read just a few verses from this passage of God's Word, and then we'll get into the meditation upon God's infallible truth. That is Genesis chapter 37. We'll commence reading at the verse number 1. Let's read the Word of God together, please. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob, Joseph being 17 years old, when feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father this evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that his father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. And behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, told it to his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Heavenly Father, we pray that thou will bless thy word to us now as we meditate upon it. And we pray that thou will stir our hearts and that thou will, Lord, instruct us. Help us to go out and help us to live as the lives in accordance to thy will. And that in all things that Christ alone will be honored and glorified. We pray this in Jesus' precious name, praying for the covering of the blood and the infilling of thy Holy Spirit. And may everything go down to the glory and the honor of thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, last Lord's Day morning, we were continuing our study in the life of Joseph. And we were thinking at 13 years of age, Joseph's tragedy and circumstances happened in Joseph's life. Because his mother, his beloved Rachel, his mother that he loved with all his heart and loved him. Indeed, he was the answer to her prayers. His mother died. His little brother, baby brother, was born. But his mummy died in the birth of that child. And so we find indeed that he was a young man without a mother. And I suppose in many ways that was a thing that perhaps drew Joseph and his father closer together. Because not only did Jacob love Rachel so much and grieve over her passing, but here was her son, Joseph. And at 13 years of age, he's now left without a mother, and father would, of course, be drawn close to him. But those early years in Joseph's lives were days and years that perhaps showed a family that was in total disarray. 17 years of age, we find that Joseph here in verse number 2 of chapter 37, we find that Joseph at 17 years of age was out working in the fields with his brothers. That was his stepbrothers or his half-brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, or the maid of Leah and of Rachel. Now we find that his father had given Joseph a coat of many colors. In actual fact, that was a sign that his father had chosen him for a position of preeminence in his family and over his brethren. I said last Sunday morning how Reuben had lost his position. He was the firstborn, but he had lost his position because of shameful sin. And we find that indeed that Joseph was granted this place of honor as the firstborn. And so we find he was a teenager now, 17 years of age. And I suppose he is 17 years of age. His brothers look upon him. He was number 11 in the family, and there were 10 before him. And he was one that received this coat of many colors, this coat of special position and honor within the family. And they felt that he was usurping authority over them. Now, I said last Lord's Day morning as we concluded that as we look at this family circle, this rather dysfunctional family, because that's exactly what it was, a family that was in disarray. And he's out in the fields here. Look at verse number 2. And it says that he was out feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, the sons of Zilpha. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now, whenever he was out in the fields with his brother, the first thing we noted was that there was a temptation to conform. These were evil brothers. These were brothers that were not honoring their father. They were away from home, and perhaps they thought, well, they're from away from and under the father's eyes, and they could do whatever they wanted, and they could live whatever they wanted. They were certainly, whatever they were doing, the Holy Spirit doesn't tell me what it was they were doing, but there was an evil report. In other words, there were things they were doing that was not right, that certainly was not honoring their father. And we find that Joseph, he brought unto his father that evil report. But friends, you know, when you're out in company, it is so easy to be under the pressure, the peer pressure, to conform. In other words, to do as they're doing, be one of the lads, be one of the lasses. And so therefore, just do what your company's doing. Thank God, whilst there was a temptation there to conform, as we sang a moment ago, yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. But thank God we find that Joseph, he did not conform, but rather he brought this evil report unto his father. And then secondly, as we finish, not only was it a temptation to conform, but there was the pressure to conceal. Because we find that he brought to his father an evil report. Now, there were those that suggest that, in actual fact, that Joseph was a tittle-tattle. He was one that, as it were, would run to daddy and tell daddy what his brothers were doing. And, of course, usually you find when somebody does that, they have got a reason for doing it. In other words, there's something in it for them. They're trying to make themselves look good whenever they're telling what others who have been doing wrong have done. But my friend, that is not so in this passage of God's word. There is nothing here that gives us the idea that he was trying to just simply spill the beans, as it were, to get his own brothers into trouble. That was not true concerning Joseph. And the last statement, or one of the last statements I made last Lord's Day was this, that Joseph was not a tale bearer, but that Joseph was a truth teller. And friend, there is an absolute difference between that. Somebody who is a tale bearer and a truth teller. Because when we saw the corrupt, whenever Joseph saw the corrupt actions of his brother, why then did he go to his father? Because he had a sense of responsibility. He was sensitive to the, he had a sensitive conscience to the evil that was going on around him. Now, this was not, as I said a moment ago, the act of a brother who had got an impure motive. For example, he wasn't trying to improve his image with his father. He didn't need to. His father loved him. He didn't need to get in with his father. He was in with his father. And so, therefore, this was not an impure motive. He wasn't trying to gain revenge on his brothers. You said, how do I know that? I'll tell you why. Because you read the story of Joseph, friend. He had plenty of opportunity to get back on his brothers, but he didn't do it. He didn't do it. So why then did he go to his father and bring this evil report to his father? Because he believed that his father needed to know the truth. It was wrong for him to withhold the truth from his father. Everybody else knew about it. His brothers were away in that far country. Probably everybody else was talking about them. But here's father at home, and he doesn't know what's going on. He thinks everything's going on well in his name. and yet his sons are bringing his father's name down into the gutter and bringing his father, their father, to shame. And so therefore Joseph believed that his father needed to know. You see, talebearers, they tell the wrong person. I want to tell you, my friend, we find that Joseph didn't tell the wrong person. He told the right person. It was father that needed to know. It wasn't the countryside that needed to know. It wasn't others that needed to know. It was his father that needed to know. And you see, my friend, whenever he told it to his father, he wasn't trying to spread an evil report against his brothers. He was trying to stop it. He was trying to stop it. He was trying to bring it to an end. And so I believe there are two reasons why that Joseph gave this report. Well, first of all, he was out in the fields with his brother, but remember, he's only 17 years of age. And therefore, he hadn't the authority to do something about it himself. The brothers were older than him. And he was at the tender age of 17 years of age. He hadn't enough authority to reprove them or correct them or to check them himself. So what did he do? He went to the one who could. He wanted the evil to stop. He wasn't spreading gossip. He wanted the evil to stop. You see, friend, there is the very thing about motivation here. What motivates somebody? What motivated Joseph to tell his father about this, the evil that their brothers were doing? It was because he loved his father. He wanted the evil to stop, and he believed he could not allow his father to suffer wrong. You see, my friend, there's an old adage that says, silence is golden. Let me tell you, silence is not always golden. It is not always golden. There are times that we ought to speak up. Why? Because it is our duty to speak up. It is not our duty to remain silent at times. We've got to conceal evil. We'd have made Joseph a partaker of doing the wrong with his brothers. And so therefore he wanted it to stop. His motivation was the right motivation. He was opposed to the evil. You see, talebearers, let me tell you, the motivation of talebearers is not to do that. Because the motivation of a talebearer is to try to gain from or to get revenge on somebody else or to gain something for themselves. To wreck somebody, to ruin somebody else, somebody else's life, just to vent their own envy because of personal advantage for themselves. That was not in the story, friend. That was not in the story. Here was a godly young man, and he brought a report to his father because that's what he ought to do, and that was the person he ought to tell it to, not to the world. Not to the world. Child of God, listen, if a brother or a sister has fallen, you don't tell the world about it. You tell God about it. And you tell the Church of Jesus Christ, those who have responsibility. But I tell you this, you don't talebear. You don't spread the gossip of the world to the world to let the world laugh at the cause of Jesus Christ. And here we find Joseph. Yes, you know what the Holy Ghost says about you? Just keep your hand there. Turn to, well, why did Joseph act so honorably? Turn to chapter 49. Chapter 49. And I want you to notice a little statement at the end of this verse. Chapter 49, this is whenever he's speaking to all his sons. Jacob speaking to his sons at the end of the day. And whenever he's speaking to Joseph, this is what he says. Look at verse 26. The blessing of thy fathers have prevailed above the blessing of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown on the head of him. What is the next statement? That was separate from his brethren. He was separate. That's what the Holy Ghost says concerning him. He was separate from his brethren. He stood apart from his brethren. He didn't want to be a part of the evil. He wanted the evil to stop. He refused to go with the crowd.
But I tell you what he didn't try to do. He didn't try to fabricate a story. He didn't try to add to the story. He didn't try, my friend, to tell it and then put his own advantage onto it. No, he simply told the truth. That's what he did. And he told it to the right person. There was not only the temptation to conform, but there was the pressure to conceal. But whenever you look at the story of this young man, friend, there's something else in this passage of God's word. There's the affection to consider. The affection to consider. Why don't you go to the next verses now in this chapter 37. It says there in verse number 3, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him, and they could not speak peaceably unto him. Jacob greatly loved Joseph. Joseph was greatly loved by his father. But friend, his brothers didn't join in the affection. Because the word of God tells us something different. They hated him. He lived a lonely life in his family. His mother's dead. His brother's just been born. He's a little baby taking daddy's attention. Joseph's a young man out with his brothers in the field. They hate him. They hate him. See, the Bible tells us, verse 4, when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him. Joseph was the favorite child of Jacob's children. I've got to say something here to parents and this. There lies a danger here. There lies a danger in families and this. It's a mistake for a parent to show favoritism among the children. There's a danger there. Because you find that indeed there's a problem of favoritism in a family. The balance as between different children in the family must be evenly given and apportioned by parents. If there's a family, then no one ought to be the pet of either their father and mother. Now that's difficult, and I know that in actual fact, that is very difficult because quite often, it says here in verse number 3, because he was a son of his old age, and it's very often that the baby sometimes gets clung to. I say that carefully because I was the baby of our family. A mother didn't spoil me, at least that's what I say. But there is a danger, friend. There is a danger. You see, Jacob should have known the danger. If anybody should have known the danger, Jacob should have known. You say, well, why? Then turn back to Genesis chapter 25. Because Jacob was brought up in a home of divided love. Jacob was. He should have known the danger of what it was to have a divided family. In Genesis chapter 25, would you go with me, please, to verse number 28, and it says this, and Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And when Jacob was being brought up, there was a divided family. Rebekah loved Jacob. But the father loved Esau. And there was a divided family. Isaac loved Esau. And friend, I can tell you there was a lot of heartache there in that family because there was a divided love. You know what the Holy Ghost ought to be able to write over the family there? It ought to be that Isaac and Rebekah loved Esau and Jacob because they were their children. But it says father loved one son and mother loved the other son. That's a recipe for trouble. And now we find that when it comes to Jacob's life, he's called Israel in chapter 37, verse 3. Israel, Jacob loved Joseph more than all his children. You see, the pet is apt to become petted, becomes arrogant to others. And the showing of favor to one friend alienates the affection to the rest. That caused a problem in this home. Partial or parental partiality is unwise and can cause problems. But the Word of God says something about this love. In verse number 3, Israel loved Jacob more than all his sons because he was the son of his old age. Now, friend, that you say, well, listen, but he wasn't the youngest son of his old age because Benjamin was. Benjamin came after Joseph. And Benjamin was born at this time because, remember, mother died whenever Joseph was 13. He's now 17 years of age. Her little Benjamin's running around. He's a four-year-old child. Wouldn't daddy dote over him? Because he was brought up without a mother. Joseph had a mother for 13 years. Benjamin hadn't a mother at all, just for a few moments. He never looked into the face of his mother. He never saw and never knew what it was to be in the arms of his mother, to remember to look into her eyes and say, Mommy, I love you. And to hear Mommy say, I love you, son. But it says he loved Joseph. And he loved him because he was the son of his old age. You say, well, that's right, because he was 91. But friend, what does that mean, he was the son of his old age? In actual fact, whenever you study that, you'll find that commentators suggest that that phrase is a Hebrew one, which means not son of an old man. It means he was a wise son. He was a wise son. You see, his brothers were wild. And here was a wise son, and he loved him. Jacob loved him because he was a wise son, one who possessed observation and wisdom above his years. You see, Jacob really depended upon Joseph. Yes, he had given him, he had chosen him. Reuben has lost his position in the family, and Joseph has been given the special position in the family because he was a wise son. He was a son his father could depend upon. He was a son that lived a godly life. He was a son that lived a pure life. He was a son that honored his father, and when he saw his father's name besmirched, and his father's name tramped into the gutter as his brothers were doing out there in the field, he brought the report to his father, and his father knew that he was a wise son. And yet his brothers hated him because they believed his father loved him more than them. Notice what it says concerning his brothers. It says there in verse 4, and when his brethren saw that his father loved him more than his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. It wasn't only an inward hatred. It wasn't that they only just couldn't even bear the sight of him. Friend, that is true. They couldn't bear the sight of Joseph. But it was not only an inward hatred. It was an outward hatred. They couldn't conceal their hatred against him, because the Bible says here that they could not speak peaceably unto them. In other words, even in their speech, they betrayed their hatred. They couldn't speak to him but in a cross, in a stubborn, in an ill-mannered way. Tell me, how was Joseph sustained in the midst of all of this hatred, friend? I'll tell you. His father's love sustained him. That's what kept him going. He knew that whilst his brothers hated him, he knew his father loved him. Now, they did hate him. And the brother's reaction, friend, is something that the Holy Spirit of God warns against. Let me show you what the Spirit of God says here. Turn with me, because you know what happened here? They hated him. In other words, they were bitter against him. Now turn with me to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews and the chapter number 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says there in verse number 15, or verse number 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. There is a warning by the Spirit of God in this book, my friend, against the spirit of bitterness within the heart of the child of God. And sad to say, there is nothing sadder than to see a child of God consumed by bitterness against their brother or against their sister or against the family of God. Now notice what the Spirit of God says here in verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. You see that looking diligently, it means to oversee. We are to oversee others, friend. We're to live peaceably with all men, especially the brethren and sisters in Christ. The family of God are to be at peace the one with the other, and we are to oversee others. In other words, we are to help others in their Christian walk. We are to help others in their Christian walk. Go back to verse number 13 of the same chapter. It says, make straight paths for your feet, lest they which is lame, or that which is lame, be turned out of the way. But let it rather be healed. Make straight paths for your feet. What does that mean? The word straight means smooth. Make smooth paths for your feet. Now, it's speaking here about others. It's speaking about others, you and I living in relation to others. In other words, a smooth path will make it possible for the lame to walk without peril, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. In other words, lest they fall. And the child of God is so to live with other believers that they are to remove impediments for others. They are to remove. If they see an obstacle in a brother's path, they don't stand back and let him walk into it. They are to smooth the path. They are to remove the obstacle. They are to remove the impediment, lest the lame stumble over it. That's what the child of God is to do. Child of God, I say to you, I say to my own heart, God forbid that we would ever be a stumbling block for others, or that we would ever discourage somebody else in their walk with God. Notice, go back to verse 15. Looking diligently, oversee, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. In other words, if we allow a root of bitterness, it can lead to spiritual failure in others. Now, the brothers hated him. They were bitter against him because their father loved him. At least that's what they said was the reason. Because their father had given unto him a coat of many colors. The Word of God says in chapter 37 of Genesis, in verse number 11, it says his brethren envied him. They envied him. What does that mean? They were jealous of him. They were bitter against him. They envied him. Friend, let me tell you, bitterness and envy is something that is destructive in the life of any child of God. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30 says, envy rots the bones. Envy rots the bones. A sound heart or a tranquil heart gives life, but jealousy upsets and provokes and ruins life, makes one angry, makes one cruel. James chapter 3, verse 16 says, where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. What does that mean? Where envy and strife, that's self-ambition, selfishness is, there's confusion. That word confusion means disorder. There's disorder. And every evil work or every evil practice. That's where their envy and strife is. Now, they envied Joseph because he was his father's choice. He was his father's choice. But I'll tell you something else, friend. Not only was his father's choice, he was God's choice. He was God's choice. And what they were doing was this, not resisting the will of their father, and not only hating because of their bitterness and envy against Joseph, they were resisting God's decree. They were resisting what God was doing and what God had done. Here's a young man, and it says his brethren hated him. He's a lonely life, hasn't he? And his father's love sustained him. You know, nobody likes to be hated, friend. Nobody likes to be hated. It's hard to take. I'll tell you what's harder. It's harder to take when it's your family. And God knows across this wee province of ours, there are many families that are wrecked because of bitterness between brothers and between sisters, families. And I'll tell you, friend, I'm sure it broke the father's heart. I believe it did. And I believe that when we study, go on down this passage, even in the dreams, and in the reaction to the dreams, I can prove that it broke Jacob's heart that this was so, that there was this envy amongst the family. And it's a tragedy when it enters into homes and when it enters into earthly families, that brother can't look at brother, and sister can't look at brother, or sister can't look at sister, and there's a earthly family wrecked, and quite often mother or father sitting, and they're sitting in the middle. I tell you that's sad, but I'll tell you what's sadder still. Whenever that bitterness and envy is amongst the family of God, that's even worse. Because that wrecks the testimony of God, friend. That makes people fall. That wounds people instead of building them up. And it hurts the testimony of our Heavenly Father himself. Yes, the thing that kept Joseph going was his father's love. That affection to consider. We sang this morning, loved with everlasting love. And friend, let me tell you, when you know you're loved by the Lord and when you love Him, I can tell you, it can help you through difficult times, can't it? When the going's rough. When people misunderstand you. When they falsely accuse you. I tell you what, the only thing that keeps you going, friend, is that first of all, you know that the Lord knows all about it. And that your life's hid with Christ and God. And that you know that you'll never be out of your Father's love or your Father's care. And you just have to trust in Him to see you through. Because He promises, my grace is sufficient for thee. Sufficient for thee. Now, time's away, and we wanted to actually come to the dreams this morning because we sang the other hymn we sang was Be Thou My Vision. Dreams. And Joseph had dreams. They say that dreams are a product of busyness. And they say that, you know, that you dream if your mind's so active. And when you go to bed and you put your head upon the pillow, your mind just can't stop. And quite often, what you dream about reflects, quite often in a distorted way, what you've been involved in previous activity. Maybe what you've been thinking about. Maybe what you've been burdened about. Whenever you've before you've gone to sleep. And then this distorted dream comes up in you. Some of the most weirdest things come into what you did in those dreams. Isn't it good that they go away quickly whenever you open your eyes, that quite often the dream's away? Sometimes you want to capture it, but they're gone. Joseph had two dreams. But friend, let me tell you this. Don't rule your life with dreams. Now, it's not wrong to dream and to have dreams. In other words, you know, to have goals. Some people have dreams, you know, they dream about having a goal in life. And that's not wrong to have it. But you don't rule your life by dreams. But actually, whenever it came to Joseph's dreams, this was a revelation from God. God was revealing something to Joseph. You see, the people of Joseph's day, they didn't have the written word of God as you and I have. They hadn't the Bible in their hands as you and I have. Joseph hadn't got a copy of the Bible whenever he was a boy. And so God spoke to those old men and even those young people. And God spoke to Joseph and God dealt with Joseph in a different way. Some person said to me, you know, I'm going to do this because I had a dream last night. And, you know, that dream told me I should do it. I want to tell you this, friend. I would suggest to you, wake up. Wake up. Smell the coffee. Don't run your life that way, friend, because let me tell you this. You and I don't have to rely on dreams. You and I have the Word of God. We have the completed revelation of God, friend. And we need the stamp of God's approval upon our lives and what we do in our lives. But in the Old Testament, men had dreams. But dreams were an inferior means of revelation compared with the Scriptures itself. And I'll just give you one passage of God's Word, and this we're through this morning. Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12. It says in Numbers chapter 12, verse number 6, and he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. But he said, my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him, God says, will I speak mouth to mouth? Even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them. And God departed. God says, my servant Moses, I'm not going to speak to him in dreams or visions. God says, I'm going to speak to him mouth to mouth. And friend, this is God's word here. This is the voice of God. You and I have the living, infallible, inspired word of the living God. Perhaps just one other verse before we close. Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. Go to verse number 25 because of time. I have heard what the prophets said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. Why think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal? The prophet that hath had a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. Then he says this, what is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? What is the chaff to the wheat? And what the word of God is saying, friends, is the word of God is superior to dreams or visions, just as the grain is superior and more substantive than the chaff. So God's word is more substantive and superior to any dream that any man can have. Don't rule your life in dreams, but rule your life according to the word of the living God. Thy word have I hid in my heart. And I earnestly pray, and whilst we want to go in, when we come back here to the study of Joseph again, we'll come into the dreams that he had. Listen, Joseph told the dreams to his brothers. Joseph told the dreams to his father, the second dream to his father. And they didn't understand, or they didn't like what they heard, friend. But I don't believe it was the dream that they were against. It was the message of the dream. That's what they hated more than anything else. Because God was telling them that God was going to raise up number 11 of the family of Jacob. God was going to take godly, wise Joseph. And God would make him mighty to the glory and the honor of God alone. And his brothers that hated him would come to see the day that they would bow before him. Because this was of God. Joseph was put in his position by the will, not of man, but the will of God. And friend, let me tell you, it's good when testing times come and whenever dark clouds gather, when you know you're walking in the center of the will of God, that'll keep you going. That'll make you strong. Thank God you'll not fall in the testing time. Thank God your faith won't disappear. You'll be able to withstand in that evil day and keep standing. Why? Because you know you're walking in the center of the will of God. Thy way, O Lord, not mine. Thy will be done, not mine. Teach me thy way, lest I might stray. Thy will be done. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for every child of thine in the service this morning that walks in the center of thy will. And I pray that thou wilt lead every one of your children to walk that way. Teach me thy will, O Lord. Teach me thy way. And, O God, help us in our daily living. Help us not to put a stumbling block or an impediment in the path of a brother or sister. But help us to so live our lives that we'll clear away the path, that the lame may be able to walk therein and do according to thy will. Save those that are not saved. And encourage your people today for Jesus' sake. Amen.